85% of children that display behavioural disorders come from fatherless homes. 71% of all high school dropouts come from fatherless homes. In 2011, 12% of married coupled homes were living in poverty, compared to 44% of single mother households. So what is a broken home? A broken home is a family in which the parents are either separated or divorced. Within our community, our broken homes don't usually come from divorce or separation or just the natural growing out of a relationship. A lot of the time our broken homes come from trauma. It comes from lack of knowledge and accountability. And I'm going to touch on this point further, but one thing that I just want to mention is that broken homes does not have to be physical. It doesn't have to be the physical separation of a parent, of a mother and a father. Broken homes does not have to be physical. The reason why I feel like it's very important to have these type of conversations that I tend to post a lot on my channel is because I feel like a lot of us within our community like to shy away from the things that are so obviously coming from trauma, and what we do is repeat a lot of patterns, repeat a lot of cycles without actually doing the work or having the conversations necessary to even push ourselves to do the work. And I feel like broken homes and raising children in broken homes is a lot more normalized within our community than it should be. It's something that we tend to see as normal, and we tend to see as something that we just have to get on with. I'm gonna pinpoint the legacy of struggle. When I say the legacy of struggle, I'm going to start with that representing itself in black women. We have a generational teaching of being the strong black woman. I know y'all have heard that shit before, if not lived it, but in our community, being a strong black woman is something that I feel like a lot of women, especially within the older generations, have worn with a sense of pride and worn with a sense of honor. And I feel like as women in my generation or a little bit older are starting to understand what comes with being a strong black woman, they're starting to look at it sideways and like, I don't want to be that strong black woman. So what is a strong black woman? A strong black woman to me is a woman that accepts struggle, a woman that accepts disrespect, a woman that is used to not being heard and not being seen, and a woman that kind of has to get on and take everything that life has to throw at her. And not just life, but also everybody else's emotional baggage, everybody else's mental baggage, everybody else's physical baggage is something that we have been conditioned to take on because we are strong black women. This is something that we can handle. It's something that we're used to. It's something that we've been raised in. So if that's what our community has taught us to be like, why are we now going to shy away from it years later down the line? Because this is all that we know. Essentially, being a strong black woman is being a protector, is being a provider, is being an emotional doormat and being the glue that kind of holds everything together. This strong black woman teaching has created a mindset within the younger women or younger black women within this generation that we can do everything for ourselves, we can do everything by ourselves, and because we can, we should. One thing that my mother has been successful in teaching me is just because you can do something doesn't mean you should do something. A lot of us as the women in this generation have this exact viewpoint that we do not need men to function within a family, to function as a whole, to function within relationships just with people. And as much as women have the ability to do any and everything for themselves, as much as women are very powerful, and as much as we hold, again, a lot of power, it doesn't mean that because we are able to do things for ourselves, or because we are able to push ourselves to the physical limit of a man, or because we're able to do the things a man can do, does not mean that we should. Does not mean that that should be the baggage that we carry amongst the other baggages that come with being a woman in itself. And how that has kind of translated into broken homes is women are now starting to raise children deliberately in broken homes, because there's also this idea there's also this idea that a woman is nothing without a child. as well as the legacy of struggle in terms of being a strong black woman, there's also this idea which is placed upon us mostly by men that women are nothing without a child. Your purpose is not fulfilled without you having a child. Because you have that idea going around, a lot of women measure their self-worth and measure who they are in direct comparison to them having a kid. So you have the strong black woman and you have the woman that feels like she's not worthy without having a child. What that does is it puts younger women in the generation forward with that same mindset of, I can have a child without a man because I'm a strong black woman. I can carry this burden. I can do it on my own. If my mum did it, why can't I do it? And then you have older women where their clock is running out, essentially. Their clock is running out and they feel like, there's not a man worthy enough for me to have a child with. There's no men out there, etc, etc. I want to have a child, so I'm going to have a child for the sake of your personal selfish reasons. And I say selfish reasons because it is selfish to have a kid without realizing the environment and the generational traumas that you're intentionally putting that child into. And I feel as though it's become so normal that it's almost a teaching now to tell a woman if she wants to have a kid, just have a kid. I feel like it's intentionally putting children or raising children in broken homes because there is no father present. That's the bottom line. There's no father present because you just wanted to have a kid for the sake of you having the kid and to fill a void within yourself that you feel like a kid is going to fill. That kid is not going to fill that void. I can tell you that for free. Remember when I said earlier that a broken home doesn't have to be physical? So as much as I've made a point about raising a child in a broken home because the father's not there, because you have the mentality of a strong black woman that you can do everything for yourself, and then you also have the feelings of feeling like you're not worthy without having a kid, the broken home also comes from the mindset that you carry. And a lot of us as black women within our community are very broken because of the weights that we've had to carry, and that then leads to being emotionally distant, emotionally unavailable, mentally distant. We may physically be there and we may physically be giving our bodies and giving everything that we can in order to keep this child alive and to raise a child, but it takes more than that to raise a child. So to have a woman in the house that is so mentally, emotionally distant is also the definition of a broken home for me, because being there physically doesn't mean that you're there. There's a lot of parents, a lot of fathers, a lot of women that can be there physically, but not there in terms of what the child will need internally. When it comes to men, I want to pinpoint incarceration. I want to pinpoint how incarceration within history has affected us, our mindsets, and the way we view broken homes and the way we have kind of accepted broken homes. Incarceration is the state of being confined in prison / imprisonment. In the 1870s, almost all people were imprisoned and 95% of those people were black. After emancipation, which is the freeing of control from another or from social, political and legal restriction, there were aspects of the legal system that was kind of reshaped in order to control the lives of black people and to keep a lot of black people within prison. One of the things, or one of the codes that were passed in that time, was called Black Codes, and that was from 1865 to 1866. So the Black Codes was passed immediately after the Civil War in the southern states, and it basically made things like loitering, vagrancy and homelessness illegal. So loitering in terms of if you're just hanging around the streets and it looks like you don't have any purpose to where you are and what you're doing. Vagrancy in terms of being homeless, so vagrancy, homelessness, hand in hand, and unemployment. Unemployment, vagrancy, loitering, all of these things were very common within the black community because of the systematic racism. You will not find a lot of black people employed, hence a lot of them being homeless, hence a lot of them on the streets looking like they have nothing to do. So it was specifically targeted to black people for being black. You were targeted for being black, put in prison for something you have no control over because of the systematic racism. So what did that do? That created broken homes. A lot of people were separated from their families. A lot of men were separated from their families. You have mothers that had to be the head of the household, that had to be that protector, that had to be that provider, that had to hold everything together. And what that did was, like I said before, it created the mindset of a strong black woman. You have men are being incarcerated from a very, very young age, growing up in the system. So all they know is the system. All they know is PTSD. All they know is trauma. All they know is anxiety. All they know is depression. There's no such thing as healing. There's no such thing as love. There's no such thing as fun, as happiness, as togetherness. There's no such thing as a unit. It's all about depression, PTSD, anxiety, and then being taken out of that environment to then say, oh yeah, get on with your life. How do I get on with my life when all I've known is being separated? So then you have men coming back home to women, women trying to be there for that man whilst they're emotionally checked out, he's emotionally checked out, you're trying to make a household work, raise a kid in what? Everybody's emotionally checked out, everybody's mentally checked out, everybody has mental health issues, everybody has PTSD, everybody has anxiety, everybody has depression. So you're raising children in this state, and whether you're together, whether you're not, that is a broken family, that is a broken home. There was the physical being separated, and then there's the mental, there's the emotional, there's everything else that comes along with that. And let's not even dive into the financial stress of having to try and figure out how you're going to raise a family in a system that was designed against you, where unemployment rates were very, very high, and you have to figure out how to make ends meet. Where is the time for emotional support? I have to figure out what meal we're going to eat next. I'm laughing, but it's not funny. So the bottom line is, there was a lot of academic struggles. There was a lot of behavioral issues. There was a lot of trauma, because you had to deal with the trauma of a loved one being separated from you in such harsh conditions and in such a small amount of time. We became victims to a system that was made for us to fail. I think within the generations, the older generations, I get a sense of a lot of them wear this trauma or this experience with pride, and it comes from a place of being proud of something that we have overcome. And as much as we should be proud as a community that we have overcome that sort of oppression, and when I say overcome, I mean overcome to the extent of what it was before, have overcome that oppression, I also feel like that feeling of being proud about what we had to overcome dismisses the fact that we have to work through the trauma that has come with that. You have to work through and heal from the things that we have been put through and made to feel like is normal. A lot of the older generation have operated through trauma and haven't worked through their trauma or healed through their trauma. They've just operated through it to the point where to them that is normal. To them that is how you raise kids. To them that is the teachings and the behaviours that you pass on to your children, because that is all that they know. Why is it so normal for us to not have fathers? Why is it so normal for us to be raised by single mothers? Why is it so normal for us to not know what marriage looks like? Why is it so normal for us to not know what a healthy relationship looks like within our community? Why is it so normal for us to be going head to head against each other, black woman against black man, instead of us to come together as a unit in a system that is designed against us? We are already against each other. So because there's this teaching of we've overcome but we haven't healed, you have the younger generation who are raised in the same mindset, raised in the mindset of put your emotions to the side. What is mental health? What is that? We just get on with it, we do what we have to do, and we make ends meet. You have the strong black woman. You have the man who doesn't know how to have emotions, doesn't know how to feel emotions, doesn't know how to process anxiety, doesn't know how to process PTSD. They were raised in that anxiety, they were raised in that depression. You hear and kind of see a lot of this is who we are. mentality within our community. This is what we stand for. This is who we are. This is what we have to do to be able to be seen. This is, no. Who you are is not being a victim to the system. Who you are is not a strong black woman. Who you are is not the typical black boy that goes in and out of prison. That's not who you are. That's what trauma has made you. That's what systematic oppression has made you. That's what being in the system has made you. That's what incarceration has made you. All of these things is not who you are authentically. It's what has happened to our community and what has damaged the ideas of what is normal in our community. And going back to broken homes, what you have is broken women, broken men engaging in big people's activities, having kids with absent minds. And that's why I say broken homes is not always physical, because there's two sides of this. You have women that just have kids because they don't feel like they're worth anything without having a kid. They want to have a kid. They know they can do it by themselves. They've seen their mother do it by themselves. So why the hell not? If I want a kid, I'ma have a kid. Then you have the other side of things where you have black men, black women having children. Both of them are absent-minded in terms of the emotional, mental and spiritual support that it takes to raise a child and to keep a healthy relationship between the two of them without the child. You have a lot of absent parents, a lot of absent-minded parents, because nobody knows what it means to heal through your trauma. All our community knows is how to operate. All our community knows is how to be in trauma and to make ends meet. We don't know what it means to be outside of trauma because nobody has taken the time to do so, because this is all we see as normal. So you have the younger generation raising kids in broken homes, and it's normalized way too much. As much as kids are a blessing and we should be thankful as women and grateful that we have the ability to bless this world with life, to bless our partners with life, to bless our families and ourselves with life, we should also take into consideration what comes with blessing the world with life, what comes with raising a child, what comes with raising a healthy child, a loving child, a child, not even a loving child, but a child that feels loved. There's a lot that comes with it. And I'm not saying that it's 100% certain that if you have a married couple family and you have a healthy communication between the two of you and you've both healed your traumas, that your child is going to end up 10-10 perfect. That's not what I'm saying. But to be intentional about raising a child is where I want us to start. To be intentional about raising children, to be intentional about having children, and to not have children and to not have a family or the mindset of having a family through trauma and through normalization of broken homes because of the systematic oppression or because of the incarceration or because of the strong black woman stigma. I want us to move from the trauma, heal from the trauma, and learn to be intentional about the things that we are doing and stop operating and being in robot mode when it comes to how we live our lives. We're not in survival anymore. And I'm not saying that lightly. I'm not saying that without realizing that there is still racism and without realizing that there is still systems and there is still things in place that put us on a back burner. But what I'm saying is we have come very, very far. We have come very, very far. And we still have the ability to make a change. Within this generation, within this day and age, we have the ability to make a change and to do better. And although there is so much more growth to come, we are in a place where we can do better. And I want us to start being more intentional about doing better. Having kids is not just having kids. And I don't think a lot of people tend to digest that. And this type of conversation is not a conversation where you judge people that are single mothers or you judge people that haven't had the best upbringings and haven't had the best experience with having a child, because that's far from it. I've been raised by single parents. I've been raised by my nan. I've been raised by my mum. Both women, no relationships were involved at that time. Both women, strong black women that I would put under that category at the time. And that raised me to be the exact same. And I've had to work through that trauma of feeling like I have to carry the weight of everything on my shoulder. Feeling like I have to do everything for myself and by myself. Feeling like I I haven't ever felt like I'm not worthy if I don't have a kid, maybe because it wasn't my focus when I was younger. I've never been a heavily focused on having a kid type of woman. I do want family, I do want kids, but it's never been I never feel like I'm worthy without it. So that sort of mindset has never been something that I've personally dealt with. But the strong black woman, 100%. 100% girl. I've been there, done that. Still subtly working through it. It's not something that you just wake up one day, it's like, oh yeah, I don't want to struggle no more, so I'm gonna do better. No, it's a work in progress. You have to work through it, and you have to be intentional about working through it. So that's all I want to make clear when it comes to these type of conversations. Having a lot more knowledge on the reasons why our community is so backwards and unhealed and living in trauma and operating like we're robots. There's so much that goes into this, but again, to cover the broken homes, it's being normalized way too much, and I need us to acknowledge where it's coming from. And if there's any points that you feel like have been triggered from this conversation, write it down below, give me a message, because these conversations for me are even intriguing. I like to know more, I like to understand more. And you know, we can't have these conversations without diving into social media. Yes, because social media plays a very, very, very big part in a lot of the way the younger generation approach situations and think about situations. And I think with social media in this day and age, there is a lot of competition between black men and black women. There's a lot of, I think I'm gonna again talk from a woman's perspective and for the women, not for the women, but talk from what I see of the women, if that makes sense, because that's what my channel is mainly directed to. But I think a lot of women, especially in this day and age, have kind of shifted the narrative of, again, women can do any and everything, so just do as you please. And it has translated in a sense where women are now somewhat in competition with men to prove that we can do everything a man can do and more. Whether that is true or not doesn't mean that you should. It does not mean that you should live your life that way. And as much as, yeah, soft life, babe, and yeah, man do this and yeah, man do that is now becoming a thing, there is also this underlying competition that a woman feels like she must prove that she can do everything that a man can do. It's not your place to prove that. Be in your feminine energy. Be a woman. Know the power you hold. You don't have to use all that power. It's not necessary. It's not. All you're going to do is burn yourself out for what reason? To prove a point. To the black man that don't even give a heck. What? Why are you proving a point? To who? For what? If you know you hold so much power, why do you have to prove it? If you know you can do everything that a man can do, why do you have to prove it? There's way too much competition within our community. I feel like in terms of the competition, as black men and black women, we need to start moving as a unit, and we need to start moving together and working to heal together, working to go through things and understand each other more. Because now that I think about it, sometimes I have these thoughts when I'm having these conversations, but now that I think about it, we haven't been given the space to fully understand each other. And that's gonna sound crazy because we kind of have the same experience in terms of systematic oppression, racism, incarceration, like all of these things. You have the same experience in terms of everybody's against the black people, you know? But everybody's experience is very different. The way in which everybody deals with things is very different. So the way one black man may have dealt with being incarcerated, or the way another black man may have dealt with being incarcerated, is going to be very, very, very different. And what has happened is we haven't taken the time to understand each other as a community. Instead, all we do is take our time to tear each other down, because it's almost like it's a competition between who's more traumatized or who's got more tools to deal with life. And again, when it comes to the homes, that is a deep-rooted issue. Most people don't even realize that that is an issue within our community and within themselves. So again, what you're doing is raising kids in an absent-minded household, absent-minded in this aspect where you don't even realize the subconscious traumas that you're holding. You don't even realize the subconscious beliefs that you're holding. You don't even realize the subconscious beliefs that you are holding. You don't realize the trauma that you're raising your child in. You don't realize the separation you're raising your child in from the Black community as a whole. We're making our kids a victim to the system that was already designed to make us fail. We became victims and now we're making our kids victims. You grow up with men that don't know how to be fathers because they were never shown what a father is meant to look like. You grow up with women that don't know how to be feminine, that don't know how to be soft, that don't know how to be emotionally, mentally present, because what they had to do was carry the burden of being a strong Black woman and being the glue and holding everything together. There's no balance within our community, and that is where the problem lies. That is why broken homes is so familiar to us, because one, it's what we were raised in, so to us that's normal. Two, we don't understand the subconscious traumas that we are reliving every single day, and we don't do anything to understand it. We don't do anything to take the time to realize it. Three, being that we're always in competition with each other. So it will never be a unit, and it will never be a moment where we're working together to heal and to do better as a community, because we're always pinned against each other and we fall for it every single time. If we're going to talk about the issues of normalizing broken homes, it repeats generational curses of mental health issues, of pain, of PTSD, of anxiety, of no communication, of separation, and of absent-minded adults. It influences relationships in a sense where nothing is about union anymore, nothing is about togetherness anymore, everything is about us being against each other and trying to prove who's better than who, or trying to prove who's more wrong than who, or trying to prove why this person made this person like this, or why this behavior made them like this, instead of taking accountability and doing better in general. We are existing and not living as a community. Trauma hinders your quality of life and your perception of self. I know I've kind of placed a heavy subject on here, but in terms of solutions, I think that open dialogue is one. And it doesn't have to be with your parents, because I know a lot of parents may not be open to accepting it and may not have a response that helps you grow through your trauma or helps you heal through your trauma. So I think open dialogue, in a sense where you can talk to yourself, journal, talk to your friends if you feel comfortable enough to, if you can, write down how you feel, just acknowledge what comes with your feelings, acknowledge what it is that you feel, maybe why it is that you feel that. Just that sense of acknowledgement and understanding within self is a perfect first step. Another one that kind of ties into that is pulling on different support systems. I would say mentorship and therapy are very good options. I know within our community, therapy is very much looked down upon, because why are you telling people them your business? That is genuinely the response you will get when you tell people you're going to therapy, because why are you telling people our business? But I think that therapy, especially for people who are kind of lost and don't understand themselves, I think therapy is a very good way to give you tools and an open space without judgment and without outside noise, and especially of people, from people that know you, for you to kind of just express how you feel. And sometimes when you say things out loud, it gives you more clarity on the subject. It gives you more clarity on that thing. So therapy, I think, is a very, very good start. I'm not saying you have to do therapy for the rest of your life, but for me personally, I have been to therapy, so I'm not just saying this willy-nilly. I have been to therapy, and for the moment of my life that I was in, where I was very disconnected from my understanding of life and just different tools I didn't have to be able to work through the certain things that I was feeling and going through at the time, it worked. it really did work for me and it did what it needed to do at the time. Now, would I say I would go back in this moment in time? No, because I don't feel like I need it. Maybe later on in life, you never know, something might happen and it's like, oh, let me get to therapy, let me get them feelings out, ciao, and we get back to life. But for now, I feel like it's done what it's needed to do and I don't feel the need to go back. So I'm not saying it has to be your ongoing thing, but don't be afraid to try it. Don't be afraid to use that tool, that extra perspective. Don't be afraid to use that different support system. If it doesn't work for you, that is okay. That is okay. It's not a wasted experience to try and experience different things or try different things to see what will help you heal. It's not a wasted experience. Mentorship, I think, is very important. I think for both men and women, but I'm going to speak mainly for women because I don't feel like there's a lot of representation or examples of what women should, I don't want to say look up to, because I don't think that's what mentorship is, but I think there's not very authentic examples of living life as a woman, because I don't think a lot of women are very in tune with what it means to be a woman, the things that come with being a woman physically, mentally, emotionally and spiritually. So I think it's not easy to have a mentor when it comes to that, because there's not much example of that. There's a lot of example of how to be a boss woman and how to get money and how to look good, and although those things are important, there's a lot more that comes with growing into womanhood. And I don't think there's a lot of mentors, or I don't even want to say there's not a lot of mentors out there, but I don't think there's a lot of exposure to that side of support system. And I can say that because I haven't had much exposure to that. So I can understand if there's not much exposure to that. But I also feel like if you really want it, go and look for it. Go and find it. It's out there somewhere for you. For me personally, I would say I've been very lucky enough to have my mum. Y'all know I love my mama. I love her down. That's my bestie. But yeah, I've been lucky enough to have a mentor within my household. And I always say to people, my mum is my mum, but she's also my spiritual mother. That woman is my mother in every life and every life and every life and every life. And the reason why it's easy for me to say that she's essentially my kind of mentor is because it's not a perfect relationship. It's not something where you're projecting perfect for people to look up to and for people to admire to be like. It's a genuine relationship where things can go wrong, where you learn from certain situations and you use whatever your mentor or whatever that person has gone through as a stepping stone for you to be able to say, I don't want to go through that, let me make the right decisions and not repeat the same mistakes. Or we've kind of gone through this together, I'm very understanding of this process, let's work through those feelings together. It's almost like just a genuine union, like I say, a union, a togetherness, a let's work through this together, instead of I'm better than you, you're gonna learn from me. So when I say mentors, I'm not talking about people that feel like they're better than. I'm talking about people that genuinely are going through life as an experience and they want to help people with what they've already learned and then bring people on the journey for what there is to come. And lastly, I would say redefine your idea of a family. Redefine what it means to have a family to you and redefine your worth and let that feeling go. Work through those feelings of, I'm not worthy without having a child. I'm not a woman without having a child. Work through that. Because you being able to give birth and to be able to bring life into this world is a blessing. But the choice is yours. And if you do not feel like that is something you want to fulfill or do within this life, you are not less of a woman because you choose to not have kids. I strongly dislike the notion that women are less than or worthless in relationships if they don't have children. Find out your self-worth from what you believe and from what you know of yourself. Don't allow everybody else to tell you what your worth is based off of what they want out of their relationship or what they want out of their life. Let go of being the strong black woman. Learn that it's okay to ask for help. Learn that it's okay to put mental health and anxiety and depression first. Learn that it's okay to heal through those things and not have to operate like a robot. Learn that you are a human. It's okay to make mistakes. Learn that everybody else's emotional burdens and emotional baggage is not yours to take on. Learn that you are to be first and at the center of your own life. Learn that your emotions, your feelings, your physical needs, everything that you need should come first before you give yourself to another person, give yourself to a family, give yourself to your family. Learn that you have to put yourself first. It's not your job to hold everybody else's weight on your shoulder. Be intentional about having kids. Be intentional with the spaces that you are raising kids in. Be intentional with healing yourself and growing in a relationship with somebody that has also healed themselves. That does not have to be fully, but healed themselves to a level where they're able to be in a healthy relationship, and that healthy relationship translates in a family and a household. Be intentional. Don't be a slave to the broken home mentality, because you are becoming the one thing that you ran away from.